No, I would kill ketchup.
Really? But you ketchup with fries.
I know, but I would be fine. I guess I would fuck mayonnaise, which sounds
going to be the opening.
No, no. Welcome back to Under Our Roof. I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Fancy. Don't let me down. I'm Reba McEntire. And you are listening to our podcast just about living the simple gay old life at home. We are so happy to have you with us. This is a big episode, house guests. This is an exciting one. We've been looking forward to it.
It's an Ask Us Anything episode.
Well, we should say before we get into it, that's not why it's special. It's special because we reached a milestone.
We did, yeah. This past week, we reached 50,000 downloads on the podcast, which is a goal to reach this winter, which technically still is winter. So we did it.
Exactly. We did it. So thank you so much for tuning in with us every week. This is, I think, our 25th or 26th episode. So 50,000 downloads in under 30 episodes. I'm really proud of that. And I'm so proud of the community that we've built here. So to say thank you, we said you could ask us absolutely anything. And you did. You really did.
We got some hysterical questions. We got some thought-provoking questions. We both put a question box on our Instagram stories this past week. So that's where we're getting these from. And we're going to try to get through as many as we can.
Yes.
Kind of rapid fire style, kind of no nuance style, just like I'm sure that won't always be the case because we'll want to chat about things, but we're going to try to answer them straightforwardly and quickly.
I'm taking this as a challenge of brevity. So there are some deep questions that I received, and I'm sure Lizzie has as well, but I'm going to try and give you my three sentences or less response. Before we get into that, do we have some queer content for people to consider?
Yes, I wanted to talk about that. Okay, so as you all know, we love to consider queer content. We've done
honestly all I like to consider. Yeah,
we've done a whole episode on this, and we'll probably do more like whole episodes just on this.
Yes.
But in the meantime, we like to keep you updated with the queer content we've been enjoying. And this past week, it has been a little show called Dickinson.
On Apple TV.
Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus.
It's like one of the apps that you can stream things from.
AppleTVPlus.com.
And it is about Emily Dickinson and her
Sue.
Longtime lover, Sue Gilbert. And if you are a Taylor Swift stan, you probably already kind of have a backstory on this because apparently Evermore is like somewhat based on their love story, and the song Ivy, so I've heard, is about them.
Allegedly.
And it's really gay. We were worried
gay.
That like...
Wow.
Well, when we were about to start watching it, Grace was like, okay, but at what point does the gay stuff come in? Am I going to have to wait like six episodes?
Which we did with The Wilds, and it was worth it.
Totally, totally. But this... My friends, the gay stuff is happening from episode one.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know how it is when you are consuming some queer content for your consideration and the content ends up being a longing, wistful stare in episode seven that is never addressed. And you're like, come on.
This is not that.
No, it is not that. So if you are looking for some queer content we made a tongue twister. If you are looking for some queer content to consider, check out Dickinson. It's only a 30-minute long episode, so you can kind of fly right through them. And it's really funny, too. That's the thing.
It's really good.
It's not a serious period show. I don't want to give away too much, but just aesthetically, it's like Skins meets Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yes, and Wiz Khalifa is in it.
Yeah, he's in the first episode. I'm guessing
he's going to be in more.
I hope so. He was great.
Yeah, it's super fun. Highly recommend it. And there's actually two seasons out. We are only a few episodes into the first season, but there's already two seasons, so.
You wrote out all your questions? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool.
Because it could help me get organized.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
And then I color-coded them by priority.
So without further ado, we are going to be getting into your Ask Us Anything questions. We're going to be doing this rapid fire. Like we said, I'm going to take a question and then Lizzie's going to take a question and we'll just kind of take it from there. Lady, are you ready?
I am, but I do want to say...
So you're not.
No, this is part of it.
Oh.
I do want to say about the questions. Mm-hmm. We're for the most part like, yeah, let's be juicy. Let's be open. With that said, if you happen to be like one of our parents and you don't want to hear us answer possibly questions that are PG-13, then don't listen. And also, if you have kids, we did get some SEX questions that we will be answering to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're listening, then
now you know.
Now you know.
We'll see you on another episode. If you know us personally, you may find this a bit strange.
So it's mostly like not PG-13. It's mostly G rated.
But mostly R. Mostly R. NC-17.
NC-17.
It's mostly specific. Where
the rest of this will be a porno, audio porno.
That probably exists.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That could be some queer content for us to consider in the future.
Moving on to questions. Do you want to start?
I will.
All right.
Quick one. Cookie dough or baked cookies?
I'm going to have to say cookie dough.
Baked cookies, but soft.
So kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have old retired couple dreams? Like, where do you want to settle and do you want to have grandkids?
We majorly have old retired couple dreams. We talk about it almost daily.
We really are like aspiring retirees.
Probably somewhere in California, Ojai, Trinidad, smoking weed out of cucumbers. Just
we talk a lot
living
about
our
like
truth. Maybe a farm animal.
I feel like the smoking weed,
but maybe just elderly pit bulls.
The smoking weed out of cucumbers might be a little out of left field, but. You know,
try it. Don't
literally carve out a little hole in a cucumber.
It's
and
cooling.
Just do with what you will.
Yeah.
We live in California. It's legal.
What are y'all's favorite rides at Disneyland?
I honestly like Pirates of the Caribbean.
I haven't been. I can't answer this question.
I like them all. As lesbians, how do you guys have dogs with penises? There's more. Okay, as lesbians, how do you guys have dogs with penises? I have a genuine phobia of having a boy dog and then getting a red rocket at some point. I would just die. I know this. This is a serious question. Like, I messaged with the person. It's not a troll at all.
Okay.
I know this is insane, but I'm genuinely curious what you guys think. Okay, we have a short answer and a long answer.
Yeah.
Short answer is, I don't have that phobia, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It just, I'm like, okay, whatever. It doesn't really bother me. The long answer is if you do have a phobia, then you might want to get girl dogs.
You really might.
To be honest, because
We've had situations.
Some situations. Most recently, Willie, his penis did get stuck out in the red rocket position.
To go to the vet.
After about 12 hours of his penis being stuck out in
a
very horrifying red rocket position.
We bathed him. We tried to relax him.
I was like, Willie, are you really going to make your gay moms call the vet and tell them that your
penis... We have a pee-pee problem.
We have a pee-pee problem. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yes. So we took him and they literally had to lube up his penis and sheath it back.
Yep.
And we had to pay for someone to do that service for a dog. Also,
and then explain to us over the phone specifically what they were doing and how we could
and
do
how
that
we could recreate
if the problem came back. And I was like, oh, don't worry, officer or vet. I don't know. Don't worry, vet. That problem is not going to come back. I sat Willie down. I was like, don't you make us go through that again.
And
sir.
Then also like recently as well, Bean, I came into our bedroom and he was on our bed with like a huge swollen red rocket.
Which is uncommon.
Which
for
he's
him.
Like really never un- had. Really I thought uncommon. Something was wrong. And he was like humping the air uncontrollably.
He
and
had,
like
a wet dream, to be honest. It was very weird. And then it was fine.
Yeah, so if you are afraid of your dog getting a red rocket, then there are girl dogs.
Yeah. Who was both of your celebrity crush sexual awakenings? So I just kind of made a video about this on TikTok. Nicole Kidman, Moulin Rouge. There were probably earlier ones that I could point to that might come to me if I watched those movies again. But I remember specifically in that movie being like, I do not want to be her friend.
Yeah, probably like Marissa from the OC.
Great one.
And I'm trying to think, maybe Rose from Titanic as well.
Oh, yeah, that's another really good one.
Yeah. What are the best meals you've shared?
But shared a lot of meals.
I know, we've eaten a lot of things. I would say one really memorable meal was going to Mama's Fish House in Maui for our honeymoon. Mm. That was like one of my favorite meals we've had. Mama's Fish House is like this incredible seafood restaurant in Maui, and I got this like macadamia stuffed fish, and I don't know, there was a lot of good things there.
We were just talking about this, so it comes to my mind. when I took you to the pita place that I used to go to after school in Belgium.
Oh, yes.
Just late night after a long day out. It just kind of felt like very full circle, very happy moment. Mm-hmm. It's Pita Grec in Waterloo, if you want to go check it out if you're ever in Waterloo. Honestly, fire pitas. You get it with some pineapple and some sauce, fries in there.
Another thing, and then we'll move on, is basically everything we ate in New Orleans, and this also is a throwback to our last episode, but specifically there's this place that I cannot remember the name of, but we got this like fried catfish breakfast plate, mm-hmm. and it was one of the best meals of my life.
That was very good. What does marriage mean to you guys? Have your thoughts evolved over the years?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I got a few questions kind of like that too, so we can kind of lump together. Somebody else said like, what's the most rewarding part of marriage?
Yeah.
I think for me now, marriage just really is about like partnership and helping each other through things. Like I've multiplied my own ability to like love other people well because we're doing it together. And like if I'm having an off week, then you can like lift me up and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Same, like every aspect, whether it's like being there for a friend and like maybe I'm super busy with work, but it's one of my friend's birthdays. You help me like make sure we're doing all the things we want to do. Or if it's like taking care of dogs.
Yeah.
We help each other. Like just kind of almost double your own ability to like do things in life. Does that make any sense?
No, it does. I agree with everything you said. And I would just add to the first part of the question of what does it mean to you? And honestly, it's the most important relationship in my life by far.
Yeah, same.
So
what's rewarding about it? I feel like what's really rewarding to me about being married to you is just like the pure happiness we have for each other when like things are going well is really nice. That's one rewarding thing.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm not describing this as well as I would want to.
Listen, y'all. Marriage is a lot. It's a whole thing. I am the best version of myself when I am like with you and I'm inspired every day by you. And this is going to sound so corny, but like every day is like the best, even when things are bad, because I'm going through it with you and you're my favorite person. And I know that that's annoying to say and hear, but that's just really what it is. I'm not saying that everything's perfect. It's not.
But okay. The last thing I'll say is like, to me, being married is just like this failsafe of like, no matter what happens, like the best is always yet to come because it'll be with you. And that's like printed actually on our wedding album that I had made that says the best is yet to come. And even on a micro level, like day to day, I'm somebody that always has to have something to look forward to, like big and small. If I don't have like something specific to look forward to, I can get really down. So I always try to like think of things to look forward to. And even if I've had like a rough day, I'll suddenly have like butterflies thinking like, oh, but like tonight I get to sleep in the same bed as Grace.
Yeah.
And that is
we
like
get to jump in bed and watch 10 minutes of Pirates of the Caribbean before falling asleep with ice cream.
Yeah. And that is genuinely like something to look forward to, even if everything else is going bad.
Yeah. Your turn.
Okay. This question is, what was your experience having sex with a woman for the first time?
That's kind of a hard question for me to answer because I don't think I knew, because of compulsory heterosexuality, that I had had sex for a long time.
Interesting.
Well, because like virginity is a construct.
Yes,
and so I
agree with that.
Didn't know. I can't really pinpoint, like, it's like I don't have a moment like how sometimes you see in movies about prom, mm-hmm. like, and this was the night that I lost my virginity. I don't have that. It was like a lot of like fooling around and messing around. And then at one point, one thing led to the other. And then you just
led to what other?
To the
I'm
sex.
I'm messing.
Oh, that's what I mean.
I feel like I had more. Okay. So also we should clarify, just putting everything out there. This question to us is just also asking about our first time in general, because
right.
that's what our experience was. For me, it was like a very sweet, like high school. I feel like if you have not had sex in general, or like with the type of person that you are attracted to, let's say, so like if you're a gay woman and you've never slept with a woman, mm-hmm. you might think like, oh, it'd be good if I find somebody that's like really experienced, because then they'll know what to do. And that could totally be great, I'm sure. But for my experience, we were like both young and like both in high school, didn't know what we were doing. And I feel like that was actually really nice because there's no like, oh, this person knows what they're doing or like this person doesn't. Mm-hmm. So I actually feel like if you feel like you're inexperienced, quote unquote, and you like don't really know what to do, it's kind of nice like figuring that out with someone else who also like doesn't really know what they're doing.
That was my experience as well. That's why I mean, like, I don't really know exactly when like a first time was. I just know that like it began with a cuddle. And then it ended in a heartbreak.
Eventually. Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
I got what you mean. Yeah. And if for me, I can think of like a specific moment in my life. All I can say is it actually was like really great and like very low pressure because like I said, we were both young and like there was no kind of expectation of like how everything would go.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What is your least favorite color and what is your favorite color?
Somebody asked me about favorite colors as well. Mm. Least favorite, probably orange.
I would say orange isn't one of my preferred, or a mauve.
I had a pale mauve. Yeah, that one's okay to me. I had nightmares leading up to our wedding that I would get to our wedding and my flowers, like my bridal bouquet, would be orange. Mm. That was like my wedding stress dream because I kind of hate orange.
What's your favorite color?
Probably pink.
And it's probably black or white.
Are you planning on having kids soon, or is that more of a theoretical conversation? And relatedly, this are all different people. If you have kids, what are your top two names? And somebody else said, have you talked future baby names? So let's talk about babies for
really
a second.
Really exciting to make this announcement on the podcast.
Stop.
We are pregnant. No, we are not. We are not.
Absolutely not. And I guess to like, the question is, are you planning on having kids soon or is it more of a theoretical conversation? I would say it's more than just a theoretical conversation. Yeah. Like we're actively working towards like saving up for the costs of that are just come with having kids in our situation. Because obviously we're not going to naturally get pregnant. And so there will be some expenses like right off the bat that we know about because of that. So we're actively working on saving up for those. Mm-hmm. But we are not about to have kids.
No. Like, y'all, I haven't been on tour yet.
Yeah,
I really want to go on tour. It would not be a great thing to do that and then leave sweet, sweet lady to figure out having a child.
Well, yeah. But anyway, it's more than just theoretical, but it's not super soon. We have talked a ton about baby names. We were actually just recently talking about this because I do not know what I want to name kids. And I was saying to Grace, that kind of freaks me out because there's been times in my life that I've been like, oh, this is what I want to name kids. But now I'm like, I don't even love those names anymore. So I'm like, what if I had like named a kid that?
All I know is that when it comes to names, I want to hopefully find a name that can give a kid enough space to make it their own should they feel so moved one day.
Yeah. And we both do really like kind of gender neutral names and not for like, don't read too much into this. It's not like we are like, it has to be a gender neutral name. I just genuinely think that a lot of names that happen to be gender neutral are also just very cool names. Yeah. And I do like the idea of giving a kid a name that they can like grow into whoever they end up being. That's not super specific.
Yeah. 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 Would you ever have a cat?
Somebody asked me about cats too. Okay. I actually got asked this recently when I did like a questions on my Instagram story for something else. Mm-hmm. We probably will not have a cat anytime soon for a few reasons. Our dogs would be pretty freaked out. My mom is severely allergic to cats to the point that like if we had a pet cat, she could never stay in our guest room because she could have like an asthma attack and die basically. I mean, it's very severe. It's not like an inconvenient allergy to a cat. It's very serious. So that's a reason, because like that would be kind of a slap in the face. Like, sorry, we just wanted this pet so you can never visit us. But Grace loves cats. I've never had a cat because of my mom, like I was saying, and I don't really know how to like interact with them. I've never really been around one, but
oh, you'll learn.
They seem sweet. I have nothing against them, but probably not going to happen anytime soon. How did Grace come up with the nickname Lady for Lizzie?
Oh, so this started because Lizzie's just such a lady. Like, she's just so polite, I thought, when we were first dating, and just so composed.
Before you got to know me.
Before I got to know you, and then I found out the truth.
Yeah.
No, you were just so composed and sweet and elegant. So I started just thinking of you almost as, like, my fair lady, I guess. Aww. Not really my fair lady. I didn't say in my head my fair lady, but that was the sort of, like, sentiment that you were evoking from me on those early dates. Just, like, how... Yeah, you were just really ladylike, and so I started calling you lady, and it stuck, and I'm happy that it did, although I do realize that sometimes when people meet us, it sounds a little bit like, I'm like, lady!
I don't think it comes off that way, because you say so? It sounds like a pet name.
Yeah, well, it is. So that's how it started. Do you think that you and Lizzie could switch jobs for a day?
No. I've actually thought about this. Like, we've joked about this. Like, what if I was, like, incapacitated and Grace had to, like, answer my emails?
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely not.
Be in danger.
We would be in if Grace... I literally think if Grace tried to answer my emails for, like, a day, I would lose my job.
Like, okay, yeah, but what if there was, like, a Zoom concert or something?
Oh, yeah. There's no way I could do it.
I would lose my job.
Yeah.
We could not do each other's job, but we really respect the other person's profession. And we have really different skill sets. We're very, very different people. I think sometimes people maybe get the impression that because I like to think we're quite compatible, that we have a lot in common, but we really do not. I mean, our values are... We have common values, but as far as, like, interests and, like, skill set, we are really opposite.
The main overlap is food.
Yeah, and dogs.
And dogs.
Yeah.
Actually, that question, I'm skipping ahead to another one because it reminded me. Mm-hmm. A few different people asked about, like, my job, which is always interesting to me because I'm like, really? Like, you're interested? I'm flattered, but I also feel like a lot of people might think that's boring, so I won't spend too much time.
Yeah.
But I got questions like, why did you decide to go into law? What do you do as a lawyer? And what does your day-to-day look like? I decided to go into law because I've always been good at, like, reading and writing and processing and analyzing. That's kind of, like, my good skills that I did well at in school. And I studied art history in school, by the way. That's what my undergraduate degree is in, which I actually think really served me well because art history is all about, like, analyzing and, like, looking at things really critically. Specifically art. And now I kind of do the same things with law. So I wanted to go to more school. I wanted to go to school that dealt a lot with, like, reading and writing, which obviously, like, med school or something or business school would not be. So I picked law school and that went great. I loved law school. Then I kind of decided to, like, go into litigation, which for me involves a lot of writing briefs. Okay, the type of law that I do, somebody asked about, is like media litigation. We represent a lot of media clients for, like, defamation cases and some intellectual property, which is really fun. Day to day, I am communicating on problems for clients, like emailing, writing briefs all the time. That's like every week I'm working on some type of motion or research for a motion or something like that.
Or Zoom court. You do Zoom court sometimes.
I do Zoom court sometimes. I used to go to court in person sometimes. That's not, like, my absolute favorite, actually going to court. But I have done a trial, got, like, a $1 million verdict a couple years ago, which was cool. Yeah, that's kind of my day-to-day. Every day is a little bit different, but a lot of it is writing on my computer.
Darling, I know that you're nervous, but trust, you've got time on your side. How do you manage your faith and sexuality? It's been difficult for me as a queer person. And there were a lot of iterations of questions like this.
I got questions like that too. I would say we have done kind of a whole episode on this a little bit about, like, the episode that's called Can You Be Privately Affirming? We go more broadly than just what the title suggests, and we talk about this in general. I don't want to hog this question because it's more your forte, but basically we don't believe there's any incompatibility with our faith and sexuality. I know some people do, and I think some people that want to think, no, I don't see a problem with that, still deep down do, because they were taught that. So if someone's queer and wants to continue their faith, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. They may say outwardly, like, and those two things are not incompatible, but like there's a little part of them that still feels like it is. And I think that both you and I, thankfully, are completely free of that now, but that was not always the case.
Right. I think that we are at a place now of reconciliation and absolutely no shame in who we are and in our marriage. And a point of arrival for me, or how, I mean, it's always a journey, so there's no point of arrival, but sort of how I landed at this point of having a pretty solid foundation was through consulting and researching with biblical scholarship that is affirming of queer identities. So that's my biggest recommendation, is that a lot of us grew up in churches or in communities of faith where you were hearing, even maybe before you were conscious of it, like before you really knew, you were being taught unaffirming messages about who you are. And that like seeps into your core. So part of who I am as a Christian and part of my journey has been in deconstructing and dismantling those harmful messages and building up an understanding of queer affirming theology. So there are a bunch of podcast resources. I always like to say, if you like watching YouTube, check out God is Gray. If you like listening to podcasts, check out Kevin Garcia and what they're doing. If you like reading books, Matthew Vine's God and the Gay Christian is a great starting point for unpacking those clobber verses. And there are just so many resources and people and communities that are available for you. If you're looking for community, check out Believer, check out Beloved Arise, Queerology. That's another podcast. There are a lot of resources. I know, drink every time I say resources. There are people, there are things out there for you that will help you get to a rock solid place, or just to better understand why you should not be ashamed of who you are and who God made you to be.
Yeah, we could, of course, do like an entire podcast on this, not just episodes, but a whole podcast.
Yeah, there are.
There are. So you should find those, because we're not experts. And I think it's okay to also be like, I'm not an expert. Like, I don't need to give a sermon on this every time a person would come to me and be like, well, why do you think it's okay to live the way you do? I am at the point now where I'm just like, I believe completely differently than you on this. There are people that have devoted their lives to this kind of theology and research and translations and all of that. That is not me, but I have absorbed those things. And that is what I believe, but I don't need to give you a dissertation every time.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just secure enough to not feel like, oh, I don't have the perfect answer. Like, they're going to think that I'm... No, I do not have the time for that.
Yeah.
This is a two-part question, one for each of us.
Okay.
For Grace, when did you know you were going to propose? And for me, when did you know that Grace was the one?
When did I know I was going to propose? I was probably 25, maybe 26. How old was I, 26 or 27 when I proposed? I can't remember.
We were both 26.
Okay. I think it was about a year beforehand. I just remember... It wasn't like a one moment where I was like, oh, and Lizzie's the one. I just remember my mom had come to visit. I'm very close with my parents, and my mom and dad had come to visit West Hollywood. And I was just catching up with my mom and talking about my relationship with you and just saying, like, everything is better and I'm the healthiest that I've been in every sense. And I'm just talking about how happy I was. And it kind of struck me like, oh, this is what they mean when they say, when you know, you know. That's you always hear that, like, when you know, you know. And I was just talking about my relationship with you with my mom, and I was just so like brimming with joy, and just like, I was so excited about a future with you. And so kind of in that moment, I was like, you know, I would love to propose to Lizzie. Like, that's something that I'm planning on doing. And then we sort of set the plan in motion for getting my grandmother's ring, and that took about a year of figuring that out. Mm-hmm. So
hopefully we haven't told this story before, or if we have, I apologize, but basically Grace and I met in college through mutual friends. We were all in a class together, and one of my best friends kind of set us up. Like, she kind of got the, we would have met because of the class anyway, but she was the one that kind of would push us into situations together where we would have to hang out. And one such night, we had all been hanging out that our friend had kind of arranged, and I was leaving, and I got in my car, and my car wheels got stuck in the mud because it was raining, and this was like rural North Carolina.
It was like 4 a.m.
Yes. And I was trying to leave, and I was driving my friend home, and she like helped me. She got out of the car and helped like direct me around the mud. And I remember looking in my rearview mirror, and I see you, because we were at your house. You're like whispering to her. And when she got in the car, I was like, what did Grace just say to you? And she was like, she said, I'm going to marry her.
Oh my God.
To me, about me.
I cannot believe that she...
She told you. She told me immediately.
Well, because she was like, you should try and... like ask Lizzie to stay or like see if something could happen between you two. And I, you know, spoiler alert, was not sober at the time. And there was just a lot going on in both of our lives, I think. And so I told Sarah, I was like, Lizzie doesn't need to stay over. Like, I'm going to marry her. Like, we have our whole lives ahead of us, basically.
That moment was like one of the most pivotal moments of my life. Because I knew it was true. Like, something about it.
That's crazy.
We had, like, never kissed, didn't have each other's phone numbers, literally had only hung out, like, semi-awkwardly with a group of people. And
semi-awkwardly is very generous. I would say mostly awkwardly.
And I was just like, yes, I am going to marry Grace. But I would say, honestly, when did I know you were the one? Truly, it was kind of then. But it was also, like, when you came up to visit me when I lived in Berkeley, which was the first time that we, like, spent a whole weekend together. And I was like, oh, my God, like,
yeah,
Grace is the one. I never doubted it for a second.
Suggestions for building LGBTQ plus community in COVID. I'm newly out and I'm feeling alone.
Well, one thing is, I really do hope that, like, later this year, COVID will not have such a hold over our lives to where going to, like, a event at, like,
A rave.
No, a lot of like local queer bars have events of all kinds that are actually not all just like alcohol oriented, if that makes sense. Like a lot of them, there's places in LA that will have like queer craft nights and stuff like that. I mean, LA is particularly full of gay bars compared with some places. So I'm not sure where you live. But if you live somewhere that does not have places like that, then what are your suggestions?
Well, I was going to jump to the online space only because that's how I found a lot of community through COVID. Because we've mostly, you know.
Well, and that's what we're working with right
now. Exactly. And I've actually made so many friends in COVID. And now that I think about it, I don't, maybe I've made a straight friend. I don't know. They would they could be walking by me on the street and I wouldn't really know a straight person from, what was I going to say? Oh, I would recommend downloading TikTok. I don't know. That might be honestly a bit controversial, but the algorithm learns what you're interested in, and it's really easy to interact with people, get a sense for people's personalities, and
make
shared values, make some duets. We've had some friends get to know people through there, and I've gotten to know people through duets and interactions. Also, check out Discord. It's basically like a very dynamic chat room, very specific chat room. So if you have some interests that you want to pursue, see if there's like a Discord server that's public that you can join, meet people through there. Those are like my online recommendations.
I think those are good. What's the time you are most proud of each other?
Most proud of each other? That's hard. I think I was, this is really difficult. What can I say about your book? Oh, sorry. Can I not?
What were you going to say?
When you finished your book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I say that?
I guess so.
Lizzie's written a book. I won't say anything else. But when you finished your book and you came and told me that you'd finished your book.
Really?
Yeah. And I got to read it and it came in the mail, the first manuscript.
Yeah.
I mean, that was... That was huge. I was so proud of you. I am so proud of you, but I just remember like when you did it.
Yeah.
Because you'd sort of proved something to yourself. You finished a book. You wrote a novel.
Yeah. I'm working on my second one now. I don't know if I want to share that much, but I guess it's already out there.
It's too late. You have no control over this edit. You don't know how to work Ableton.
Okay. For me, honestly, like there's been so many times I've been so proud of you, but I think really, like, the thing that comes to mind is, like, hearing your interview and your song on NPR. was just so cool. Like, yeah. The reason that I'm so proud of you for that is because it represents so much hard work to get there. It's not just the interview on like a huge national platform. It's also the fact that like you got that completely just from your own merit. Like they found you, they reached out to you, you had no help mm-hmm. in terms of like a connection or something. Not that it's bad to work your connections, we all do it. But like for that, it was truly just something you created that like people are taking notice of. And it's so cool. But there's a lot of things. Probably just Preacher's Kid in general is what I'm most proud of you for. But the NPR interview and like hearing Jesus from Texas on the radio was like kind of a big culmination of that.
Yeah, that was crazy. Would you rather change genders every time you sneeze or cry tears of hot sauce?
What?
I immediately, for me, gender is a construct. Change genders every time I sneeze. I don't even really sneeze that often. So I would look forward to it.
Okay, how many times a day? How many times a day do you hear me sneeze?
You sneeze a lot.
I sneeze a lot. I don't know why.
That would be chaotic, but wouldn't you kind of love it though?
I don't want to be a boy.
You don't have to be a boy.
I guess I could change gender to be like non-binary.
First of all, who are you married to?
I know. Okay. I'm not trying to sound like dense or something with relation to gender, but
I wasn't thinking about changing like that. I actually like wasn't thinking about changing into a boy. That was not even one of the genders I was thinking of when I was like, I would immediately change my gender every time I sneeze. I was thinking about the wide variety. Wow, we are different people. The wide variety of expressions on the gender spectrum. I was like, hell yeah. Like, I want to like see it all, understand it all, different walks of life.
Well, I guess I would say that because
you're gonna cry tears of hot sauce.
No. I guess I would say change genders, but hopefully I'd have some control and not like be a bro because I'm not really interested in that.
Well, I don't think you change personality. It's just gender.
Well, okay, this could be a much deeper conversation.
Is frat bro a gender? My gender identity is frat bro.
I don't know.
I think that's why you're like hesitant towards it, because you're like, my gender identity is bro. Don't worry, that's not a gender.
More for Grace, but wondering if either of you have any tips on how more masculine of center women or non-binary folks can feel more comfortable with their body during intimacy.
Oh wow, that is a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with the person you're with and communication is empowerment. Hopefully find someone or someones that you are comfortable enough to just really express what makes you feel good and what makes you feel dysphoric or uncomfortable. And I think part of that also is getting to know yourself, learning kind of little things that will set you up for success. Lights on, lights off. I mean, truly, like clothing on, clothing off, like that's stuff that you will have to figure out on your own, but hopefully you can find a partner or partners that are totally accepting of that and are just, you gotta pardon the pun here, along for the ride. You know what I mean? Like that's what I would say. I think it's good that you're asking this question because I remember feeling a lot of pressure because the only representation of intimacies that I'd seen were like the L word, where everyone was just like, you know, we love to the L word for what it is. It was all just very like everyone's all over each other and like this is what sex looks like. And I just remember watching that and being like, but I don't know if that's what I want. And I think it's good to ask questions because it means that you're probably going to point yourself towards resources that will be helpful. And to understand that, especially if you're like mask of center, that we are a little bit behind when it comes to representation like that. So I get it. It kind of sucks. I understand that this is something that you're wondering about. It'll be okay. F, Mary, Kill, Condiments Edition, Ketchup, Mustard, Mayonnaise.
Oh my gosh. Whoa, that's such a good question.
Yeah.
You go first.
Okay, well, I'm marrying mayonnaise because I grew up in Belgium. Mm. But it's not the mayonnaise you're thinking of if you're from the US. It's not that type of mayonnaise, okay? It's not like Hellman's. I kill mustard and fuck some ketchup.
Okay, I'm going to say I would marry mustard. This is why I would marry mustard. You don't really cook, so you don't know how much I use mustard. It's in all the homemade salad dressings I make. It's in a lot of things, like a little bit of Dijon mustard just adds so much to like so many sauces, condiments, dishes, dressings, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I would marry mustard because it's like the perfect partner in the kitchen.
You're going to kill mayonnaise, aren't you?
I use it for a lot of different things. I would kill ketchup.
Really? But you ketchup with fries.
I know, but I would be fine if I guess I would fuck mayonnaise, which sounds...
That's going to be the opening.
No. Oh, we're going to have to check this one explicit, aren't we? Yeah, marry mustard, fuck mayonnaise, and kill ketchup because mayonnaise, I could make a lot of different aiolis with it that could be good for fries. I don't need ketchup, but if I could never have mayo like on a sandwich, I would really miss it. Lizzie, did you have any part in the production of Preacher's Kid?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
1,000%. It couldn't have been made without you.
Aww.
Taking care of the dogs, like... Bean is crying. Bean wants to be in my office.
No, but I did some stuff with the actual record, too.
Well, I mean, like, in the production of, like, the music.
Yeah.
Just facilitating sort of that time, that uninterrupted time, cannot be overstated. Well, I ran lyrics by you. You were part of a lot of the songwriting, just in, like, I'd bring you a half-baked song, and you'd kind of let me know if you thought it was sounding cool. Mm-hmm. You took the cover art. You took all the art leading up to and a little bit after the release, any photos that you saw of me. Do you two pray together every day?
Maybe not every day, but often. Pretty
frequently, multiple times a week, I would say.
Yes. If Bean's ears were edible, what would you dip them in? This is from my best friend, the one who
artichoke dip.
Set us up. Yeah, if my best friend and I like to talk about our dog's ears as if they were like chips, which take what you will from that. But I would say like an edamame hummus for Bean's ears.
Ooh, that's good. I would say artichoke dip. Mm-hmm. Can interactions with house guests become overwhelming?
I would say no. I really love hearing from house guests. Sometimes I get behind on the emails and then... And we do respond to every single email that we get. You can email us at underourroofpod@gmail.com. And I love getting them and responding. Every now and then, if I let myself get behind on responding to emails, then I can be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But that is not any house guest's fault. That's me like going a week without responding to anything and then being like, oh my God, I have like 100 emails and need to respond to them all. And it'll take a while.
I love hearing from people who listen to the podcast or listen to my music, but... I also have learned for my own mental health that I do have certain boundaries in place, not because it becomes overwhelming from other people, mostly just to take care of myself. So I try to respond to as much as I can, but I just learned for me, for my own sake, probably like a year and a half ago to sort of set up bumpers so that I can be fully present when I do interact with people and I don't get burnt out.
If you could listen to any album for the first time again, what would it be?
That is so hard. If I could listen to Emotion,
I was Carly Rae
Jepsen for the first time again.
I was going to say Emotion by Carly Rae Jepsen. If you are listening and you're like, Carly Rae Jepsen, did she sing Call Me Maybe?
First of all, how dare you?
So Emotion is her
Chromatica.
I was going to say Chromatica.
Really?
Those are my two, was Emotion and Chromatica. And honestly, probably some stuff by my problematic fave, Lana Del Rey, because she is like one of my favorite artists, but she's been kind of disappointing me lately. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Kind of disappointing.
Yeah, we don't need to go into that. Yeah. But I'm trying to think like what album by Lana I would listen to. Like maybe Paradise for the first time again. But Emotion, Carly Rae Jepsen's 2015 album, Emotion, is one of the best albums ever made. Call Me Maybe is not on that album, by the way. Like, if that's the only song of hers you know, then you need to go listen to Emotion tonight, whenever you're listening to this.
I also remember listening to To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. That's one of those ones where I just remember being like, whoa, if I could hear that again for the first time. I remember listening to that when I was driving. I'll answer this one really quick. Will Thank God for That be released? That is a song that I've been teasing. I just finished writing it a few days ago. I am aiming for an April release.
Yay. Okay, I think this is a really good, meaningful question for me to go out on.
Okay.
What would you ask from 50-year-old you if the chance was given? This is really tough because I don't want to ask, like, you know, how everything works out, because that's kind of the spice of life. And I think there is something very existential and, like, horrible about knowing how your life would go that would just drive you crazy. But I think I would ask, maybe I would be like, what should I name my kids? Since obviously I don't know right now, not that I'm about to have kids, but I don't know. No, I need to think about it more. What would you say?
What are you excited about?
Oh, wow. That's such a good one.
Because that would sort of give me an idea about what is ahead.
Yeah.
Something that you and I always say is the best is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to ask my older self what they were excited to see. And yeah. If they said nothing, then I would know, oh, yikes, things get pretty dire.
Hey.
I don't think they would.
Yeah, I don't think they would either. This question, like, I love it so much, but I don't know why I'm just having such a hard time answering it. But I think I really like your question. I mean, your answer, rather. I might use that same one and say, what are you excited for? But I also might just ask, like, tell me, like, your favorite memory without telling me your favorite memory or something like that. So it's just described, but I don't know exactly what it is.
That would make us cry for sure.
Yeah.
Because I can see it playing out like a montage and like elderly lady being like,
hey, I'm not going to be elderly when I'm 50.
Fair point. We'll never grow old, baby.
50 is not that old. It's really not.
It's not. You're right. It's really not.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to this when we're 50 and be like, what were these youngins thinking?
I feel like 50 is like just middle-aged.
Yeah, it is exactly
middle-aged. You could be 100.
Easily.
Yeah.
My grandmother is 94 right now.
Exactly.
Not slowing down. She just beat COVID.
Thank you so much for all these questions. There's so many good ones. I'm definitely going to like talk out some of them with Grace that we didn't have time to get to because there's just so many good ones. I really loved reading all of them. Thank you so much for taking the time to write them in.
If you enjoyed this type of an episode, please let us know. You can rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We read every single review, and if you want to reach out to us directly, you can write to us at underourrooffpod@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for 50,000 downloads. Thank you for sticking with us and supporting our show. We love being here with you, our wonderful house guests. On that note, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.